The world is a brighter place with the Yola Nash Show. Love, learn, and laugh.
Hey, it's Yola Nash, saying hi from the heart of New York. Welcome to the Yola Nash Show on WABC Radio, the number one talk radio station in the country. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And I assure you, you've made the right decision because we're going to have a great, great show today. And big thank you to all of you who are staying in touch. I always appreciate your beautiful messages. And, of course, all the likes. And please give me more. Follow me on social media, Yola Nash or Yola Nash Show. And just to remind you, we are streaming live around the world on WABCRadio.com. And you can also listen to my show on your phone. Just download our app and you are ready to go. And I'm ready to introduce my fabulous guests. So don't go anywhere and hang out with us.
Listen why the world's biggest stars love talking to Yola Nash on WABC Radio, The Yola Nash Show.
I'm so excited to introduce my very, very special guest. He's one of the most celebrated TV film stars in the world. He has received many awards, including 2 Emmy Awards. He's also a great author, producer, film director, musician, and he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Welcome to the show, the one and only William Shatner.
My God, after all that, there's no time to talk to you. A pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bravo.
I mean, wouldn't that be funny if you, this person you're interviewing has so many awards and commendations that by the time you get through with it, there's no time to talk.
Yes, we just finished our conversation, right?
Right. Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Yola.
Gosh.
What a great name.
Oh.
What is that, Yola?
You made my day. It's very old Greek name, I found out.
I love Yola.
And Yola means a violet flower.
Is that violet or violent?
No, violet. Okay. A beautiful flower.
Yeah, a violet flower, and you gnash your teeth over that. I got it now. I'll never forget your name for the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be in your area.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to talk to you. So let's start off maybe with some of your impressive achievements. Your career is absolutely...
You want me to tell you about my impressive achievements? Let me tell you about a few of my impressive achievements. Well, the most impressive one will be May 19th at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. I'll be coming there. An unusual form of entertainment. We'll play a Star Trek film, The mm-hmm. Wrath of Khan, first, which is an enjoyable film for those who haven't seen it, and those who have seen it, many of them find new things to see the next time around. And then I'll come out and on stage and talk and talk about the film, talk about anything that anybody wishes to talk about. But what I find really, I don't know how to characterize it, amazing and uncomfortable, is 40 years later,
mm-hmm.
the actor in the film comes out on stage. 40 years later.
Wow.
people are like, well, who's that? We're looking for Captain Kirk.
But, you know, I was wondering, because this iconic role is with you through your almost 6 decades of your career. It's been unbelievable. And how do you view that role, as a blessing or as a curse?
No, absolutely a blessing, Yola. You and I are talking today because I played that role so many years ago
mm-hmm.
and achieved a modicum of success. And the phenomenon is that 52 or so years later, we're talking about this thing that was on television all those years ago. It's never been done before, and actually can't be done after because we'll all be dead 50 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we won't know whether a show that is on the air today will last 50 years.
Why do you think the audiences around the world love it so much?
Well, I don't know. you know, as a joke, I used to say, well, it's me. But what I really think is science fiction has a magic about it, a mystery. The night sky, the stars, the universe is so mysterious to humans. We know nothing, even with our telescopes and astrophysicists who speculate what's out there. Mm-hmm. We know nothing. But what it does hold is a fascination for us. And we look out there and we say, what could possibly be out there? We're part of this large, maybe multiple universes. We speculate there's 11 universes out there. We don't know. And so science fiction speculates, proposes, all right, here's what we think is out there, and which is as good as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so Star Trek says, look, here's drama that happens out there. And who can say it doesn't, you know? And
yes,
that's the fascination of science fiction, and I think the fascination of Star Trek.
And, you know, I was actually checking some fragments, just refreshing my memory about all of these episodes, and I was so amazed to actually kind of realize that so many gadgets that you had as props at that time that we've seen on Star Trek, right now we are using it. It's like let's say, these hand communicators that you talk to. Now everybody on the planet has it.
Well, that's true. I was given one of the first phones. Motorola made a phone and called it StarTAC.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me one.
Wow.
And so I would use it because it was among the first around. And people would look at me and laugh, like in airports and things like that. I realized I shouldn't be in public using it because it caused people to look at me.
Well, do you watch your films, your shows at all?
I try not to. I love to watch television. I love the news. I'm a newsaholic, and I watch movies. I watch sports. But I just don't seem to watch the half-hour, hour shows, and especially if I'm in them. I don't watch it. And so if I could avoid watching myself, I do for a number of reasons.
It's so interesting that so many actors don't do it, don't like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. I think it's that you're liable to be so self-critical. And also something else that I think may be at work, and that is if you see yourself doing something characteristically, then you become self-conscious about the thing that comes to you naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure you have a beautiful smile.
Did you know?
You know, and maybe your lips twist up a little bit, and you're looking at yourself on film saying, God, I don't like that twist. Now you become self-conscious about your smile.
So true, yes.
And that's what I think some actors fear.
Mm-hmm. What's the secret to your impressive career?
Well, if I told you, everybody would do it. Then,
yes. But you,
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I'm eternally grateful to still be around and still be working.
Do you know what I love about you? Of course, your acting, your talents, how incredible you are, but also the fact that you are not afraid to ask big questions, fundamental questions about our existence, like love, friendship, loneliness, death, life after life, all of these questions that so many people are afraid to ask. And I'm this type of person who always kind of, you know.
Then you'll enjoy. I've got another book coming out in the summertime. I've written about, well, I think it's about aging, but the premise of the book is nobody can tell you what to do. I mean, how dare somebody advise somebody how to either live their life or what to eat or where to step. All you can do is say, well, this is what worked for me, and you might want to try it or think about it, and it might work for you. And that's what I'm doing in this book about aging. And I propose some of those very subjects, questions about those subjects you just mentioned, about how do you age and fear of death and all those things, standing on principle or being politic and making some amends, some compromise. When do you compromise and when do you stand on principle?
Right.
That sort of thing.
Well, and I also know that you have a deep love for horses, and I've heard you are the horse whisperer. Is that true?
Well, I love horses. I've been with horses now most of my adult life, and I do feel a mystical communion with all animals, with my dogs and the horses, and I've explored that very thing with animals as large as elephants,
wow,
and small as mice.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very connected, for instance, with dogs. And you are right. There is something like a spiritual connection.
You can have it. You know, if you enter their world, because they're trying to enter yours, but if you enter their world and be alert to how they communicate, and they're communicating with each other and with you all the time, you can speak their language, and dogs have their language.
Mm-hmm. And maybe some people not know about this, that you produce and host the annual Hollywood charity horse show for many years, right?
Yes, for 30-odd years. The Hollywood Charity Horse Show, the Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo. And if you go to horseshow.org, you can find out all about it. We help kids and we help veterans.
Yes, exactly.
And every dollar that we're given.
So fantastic.
Goes there.
And also talking about helping children and helping others, I've heard that you had quite an interesting event. You auctioned your kidney stone.
I did.
And then you gave the money to the charity, right?
Building a house
wow.
for somebody in the New Orleans area. Yes, I had a kidney stone, and a company looking for publicity offered me some money, and I said, I want more money. And then the cast of Boston Legal kicked in another 25. We gave the $100,000 to Habitat for Humanity, and a house was built because of my kidney stone.
Unbelievable. And you know what? I had a kidney stone, but mine was not as valuable one.
You didn't get any. All you got for your troubles was pain.
Pain, yes, and tears and suffering, and it was all calcium, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, your calcium stones aren't as good as the other one that I had. That was crystalline. It had sharp edges.
Oh, yeah, yeah. These are painful.
That's right, Yola.
Painful. And let's emphasize again that you're coming to New Jersey, and all of our listeners, guys, you cannot miss the amazing William Shatner live on stage in New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, and JPAC on Saturday, May 19th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, go to njpac.org, njpac.org, or call the box office 888-466-5722, 888-466-5722, May 19th, 7:30 p.m. And would you be so nice to give our listeners your social media handles, your website?
WilliamShatner.com.
And you are also on Twitter, right, William Shatner?
On Twitter, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. And as you have mentioned, all of our listeners who will go, they will be able to see this spectacular film again, space classic Star Trek Adventure, The Wrath of Khan. And
me on stage live.
Exactly. The one and only, the legendary, the amazing William Shatner. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yola, I hope I see you there.
Oh, absolutely. If they allow me to come and say hi, I'll be absolutely thrilled.
I'm telling you, you're allowed right now.
Thank you so much.
You take care now.
Thank you. Thank you. William Shatner, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've never been premenstrual in my life.
You're not PMSing.
Not right now.
Don't believe us. Believe Yola. She's not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I never lie.
Exactly.
Let's put you on the spot.
I would be like a shy mouse.
Waving through the window.
That was good.
It's Yola Nash. Internationally award-winning documentary and film director Eric Merola, featured on The Yola Nash Show. Merola is the director of the groundbreaking documentary series Brzezinski, about a brilliant scientist who has discovered a non-toxic and gentle treatment for cancer.
1 year after starting Dr. Brzezinski's treatment, UCLA pronounced me in remission. Dr. Brzezinski saved my life.
Perhaps Dr. Brzezinski has found the medical breakthrough of the century. Certainly a wealth of empirical data hints at that possibility.
Don't miss Eric Marola's latest documentary, The God Cells, a story about a unique stem cell treatment that has the potential to change the face of medicine.
I have not had one pain episode since the end of December. First time in 18 years. I am totally pain-free and medication-free.
I'm so excited. I can't even, it's so exciting. For the first time, I see the light in the end of the tunnel.
I'm Eric Marola. I love telling stories about exciting scientific innovations that have the potential to change the course of history.
For more information, go to stemcellsmovie.com or thegodcells.com and sign up to Eric Marola's mailing list to get a coupon code to watch The God Cells for free. Marola's Brzezinski, Second Opinion, and The God Cells are also available on Amazon Prime Video. Don't miss Eric Marola on The Yola Nash Show.
To those who are tuning in right now, I'm Yola Nash, and this is The Yola Nash Show. I hope you're having a great weekend, but if it's not great yet, I truly hope it will be. And now, let's continue the show, and let me welcome my next guest. She's a brilliant poet, writer, musician, and artist. She's a rising star in poetry field with a remarkable following around the world. And also, she's the director of experimental short films. Simply the amazing, multi-talented Fela Cederbaum is here. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
And you drove down all the way from Boston to be here today.
That's right.
I'm feeling like super excited. And many of our listeners know you pretty well by now, I would say, because you've been featured on my show. And they know you as Fela, a.k.a. Mano Dano. And I must admit, I absolutely admire your talent and your writings. And this is why we are here today.
Well, thank you.
So what came first? The poems, the book, the paintings, the music, the video poetry?
That's interesting. Well, they all came at different phases of my life, and I never thought I would put them all together. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that came was the paintings, but I did them many years ago, and they were just resting in some closet and for the longest time. And then I wrote some music, but I didn't know what to do with it, so I just had it, sometimes listened to it. But when the poems came, that is when everything changed, because they flew out of me, over 100, and people wanted to hear them. So then I wanted to put them on video, and then I needed music, and then I needed the paintings, and suddenly everything came together.
Wow, so all the poems just happened spontaneously?
Completely spontaneously. I never thought I would write poems. I wasn't particularly interested in poetry, but my thoughts, my questions, my lifelong quest for truth, mm-hmm. led to these poems, and they just flew out of me everywhere in the most impossible situations.
Wow.
While driving in a parking lot on the Merritt Parkway, in the shower.
I was wondering, because some people who are so creative, they have these moments and they write down pieces of their poems or songs on a little napkin or piece of paper because it happens so fast and you don't want to lose it.
Yeah, so exactly. Wow. So when it happened, I was never without a notebook.
So beautiful. Tell us about your creative process. You just told me a little bit, but how do these ideas come to you, and then how you organize it, how you think about it, how to put it out, and all these things? Is there any special approach?
Well, yes, it happened. On one hand, it happened pretty organically, mm-hmm. because the poems came, and then when I would read them to friends, people wanted to hear them. So I decided to, maybe put them on YouTube. And then one thing led to the next. So I didn't really plan it, but it evolved. It came like the poems. We needed music. So I dug out my old music from over 20 years ago, and I hadn't touched the piano. I'm not trained in any of these fields. So
you didn't study any of these art forms in college?
No, far from it. I didn't think I had any art in me. I just felt like an artist without an art. Yeah. And then all these things emerged, and they just came on their own. And it's sort of magical, because I wasn't bound by convention or rules or what is done. It's great because it has its own shape, and it just is the truth.
And it's pure.
I'm not bound by rules, mm-hmm. because I can do what I want. And then
I love that. I'd love to hear
it's
that.
It's my freedom, and it's such fun. That's the main thing. I'm so happy
so there
doing
is
any
passion.
Of them. Complete passion.
Well, what would you say has had the biggest influence on your life that led you down this path where you are today?
Well, I would have to say it's sort of, it's the way I grew up. It's a very strange, unique way I grew up in Germany, the child of Holocaust survivors. And that in itself is a little bizarre. And it led to many questions that I had. Why are we here? What is the meaning? What is truth? What is reality? And later it was, what are the values that we have? Are they absolute? Are there absolute truths? What are thoughts? What is
love?
Okay, thank you for the
question. I always talk about love.
Love. Well, that's actually where I arrived, usually. Mm-hmm. All the poems I wrote, at one point I thought, am I writing the same poem again and again? Because without fail, they would end up in a place of love or great peace, and it just, they resolve themselves. It's all the substance of life. But what is the meaning underneath it? Where does it take us? And if we go all the way into a feeling or into a question, all the way, without being afraid of where it might lead us, without fail, it goes to love, to your heart, to your own compass. Mm-hmm. So,
I love it. This is why I admire your writings, your poetry. In your video poems, you created two characters that are portraying your poems. And how did you come up with that idea?
I was preparing to maybe read my poems on YouTube, and I just didn't really think I wanted it to be me. I mean, I didn't want it. It wasn't. It didn't want it to be about me. So then, on a whim, I had dressed up once as this character that is now has the name Mano Dano, and I thought, okay, this guy's going to read the poems, and so that was the first character. But Mano Dano was lonely, so.
You created a second
part. So I needed a second one, and I always liked the crazy clown wig, and that's how Mani Dani came to being. And now Mani Dani, she's the more edgy one, and Mano Dano is wiser. And of course, they're both alter egos in the end. They speak my voice, the different aspects.
And we are consistently searching, asking questions, looking for truth.
In the back of my mind, from what I can tell now, retrospectively, I have to say, those questions always cook in the back of my mind. What is truth? Can we get to the bottom of it? Do you know what truth is? I don't. I thought I knew. And then it turned on its head. And I danced on my ear. Do you know what truth is? I don't. I was looking for it. And then it wandered away. It wandered into the distance, and I swung on my eye. Do you know what truth is? I don't. I recognize it, but I don't know what it is. I thought I did, but then it turned inside out, and I hopped on my hair. Have you ever danced on your ear when truth was there and then it was not? Have you swung on your eye when you touched truth and your hand reached through a cloud? Have you hopped on your hair when truth was black and then it was white? How is it that truth is nowhere to be found? I mean, nowhere to be found. But then it permeates all. Permeates your most desperate heart and your darkest night. How is it that truth is invisible when you crane your neck for a whiff of its fragrance, just when you fade into its dream? Do you know what truth is?
Wow, so beautiful. And I encourage all of you who are listening to our conversation right now, check out Fela's unique art. You'll be absolutely blown away and you will enjoy it, I assure you. And also, great news. I would love to absolutely emphasize that news. Your highly anticipated new poetry book just came out. Tell us about that.
Oh, that is so exciting. It's so exciting.
It's still hot.
It's still very hot. And it's been long in the making. And it's called Of Life and Other Such Matters. And well, what else is there? Yes. It's of life and other such matters. And those are the first 35 of my over 100 poems.
Again, of life and other such matters. Fella Cederbaum, new beautiful poetry book on Amazon. To all of our listeners who are maybe tuning in right now, I'd like to remind you, I'm Yola Nash. You're listening to The Yola Nash Show, and I'm talking to Fella Cederbaum, the incredible poet, writer, and artist. Are there any other projects you're working on right now? Tell us. Any secrets?
It seems that I'm always spinning with new things, but the one main one that seems to be emerging is a children's series. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's really more like a television series. And I mean, you know, you have to dream big too.
Yes.
And it's just, I have very, very sweet children's poems. And it's a whole different angle on it, bringing those same questions into a fun form. I don't construct them around the lesson or the moral of the story. I allow it to come. So I start out here, Mano, I'm Mani, and just very, very loosely. And then suddenly what I want to show children or what might be important to them emerges. And then I go with that.
Oh, good luck with that. That sounds so exciting. And also, I see you have an impressive following around the world. Do you think it's because more and more people are searching for something deeper, for the truth, like you do through your writings, through your poems?
I think...
Some kind of awakening?
Well, some people say that there's a greater and greater awakening. On the other hand, if I look at the state of the world, it doesn't exactly look like that to me. However, I think we are all looking for truth. We're all asking those questions, whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, because we're all looking for happiness. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is happiness. That's what are we looking for? So, yes, I believe that there's a place for it in the world, just by the responses I get, that people burst out crying or they feel so deeply touched. And it really touches me very deeply that this is what is happening. Mm-hmm. So that gives me, that inspires me as well, of course, I must say.
Mm-hmm. What's your dream, fella?
Oh, you got me
there. I love your laughter. Here's the best laughter in the world.
Well, I'm sort of living my dream, actually, but ideally, just in terms of the poems, I would love for them to be out in the world and for more people to get the fun out of them that I do and to feel the love that I do that permeates me when they've taught me and they've made me happier and happier.
And people can tell easily. So to all of our great listeners, and I invite you to go and experience Fella's work today. Visit her website. Her website is very easy to remember. Manodano.com, and that's MANODANO, manodano.com. I'm telling you, these poems will make you cry, will make you smile, it will give you hope, it will squeeze your heart. So go there today, manodano.com. And also, Fella, please tell our listeners your social media handles. You're on Facebook, right?
Facebook, very active. Yes, Manodano, Facebook.
Oh, perfect. Really, so it's easy.
Yes.
Fella Cederbaum, I am absolutely honored to have you on the show today.
Leon,
thank you
mine.
So much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Unfortunately, it's time to wrap up the show. And the only thing I can say now, don't miss my next episode. You can listen live on Saturday, 2 a.m. and Sunday, 4 p.m. And if you missed any of my shows or any of your favorite stars, you can always visit wabcradio.com podcast page and check out The Yola Nash Show. Like me on Facebook, follow me, write me, stay connected. My social media handles are Yola Nash Show or Yola Nash. So until next time, stay well, be happy. I'm Yola Nash.
This is 77 WABC, The Yola Nash Show.